It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Alright. I hope all this friggin' works. Yeah. We've been here for like 20 minutes, people. couldn't get the laptop to work. Laptop didn't want to acknowledge the mouse pad. At all. Rebooting did not help. Nothing helped. Magically, transmogrified. No. Magically, through the power of only keyboard connections, I managed to get in to the mouse touchpad settings and find the specific device program. And for some reason, it was not enabled. And then I clicked on it, enable, and now it works, except now the left and right mouse buttons are backwards, so we'll deal with that later. But anyway, we're here now. So, a couple things I want to talk to you about.
Oh.
Got to try and get back into that vibe, though, because
right.
I was dealing with other crap. Sherman Williams.
Paint Company.
Yes.
Cover the World.
Yes.
And then there's a globe with a big glob of paint on it.
How fucked up is that?
Pretty, yeah, it's pretty bad.
I just today was behind them on, behind one of their trucks on the thing. And I've always known that's the slogan, but for some reason today I was like, that's not right.
It's not going to be a logo that inspires people these days because you're basically pouring paint all over the planet.
And it's super culty in a way. Like, it reminds me of the bit from the carpet cleaning cult in Seinfeld, where they're like, most of the world is carpeted, and one day we will do the cleaning. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, I've always kind of thought so.
And they can update. I mean, McDonald's has changed their slogan like 20,000 times.
Well, yeah.
Remember, you deserve a break today? Holy crap, they're young people. I don't know who's young. Beth. Beth listening and Craig probably, you guys don't know that one because you are young. I don't know who any young people. And my boss, meanwhile, probably remembers one from before that because she's super old. Yes, that's fucked up. Okay, here's the thing. So this week, like on the weekend, you know, we go have dinner with the neighbors.
Sure.
Yes, and sometimes we go out, sometimes we don't. Depends on our mood, what we're doing, whatever. So, Trish got this idea. We were going to go downtown to Melk. Have you heard of Melk? M-E-L-K?
No.
Downtown? It's on Washington?
I mean, it sounds like something you've talked about. I don't remember.
I don't know, because I don't... I mean, I knew of it, but not much. But oh, I've never okay. been. I've never
all right.
been.
All right, well, you haven't talked about
it's a cereal bar. It's probably new, downtown. Cereal bar. This is kind of a trend that's happening now.
Now? I mean, I heard cereal bars like... 10 years ago.
Yes, but now they're becoming like
a thing again.
I think so, or I'm just that far behind the times. I don't know, but it's the thing. They got all these cereals. You can have cereal, or they can put the cereal in a milkshake, or they also just have a whole fucking menu of just stuff.
Okay.
Burgers, sandwiches, things like that. A lot of it is cereal related. For instance, they have a few different things with breaded chicken, and the chicken breading is made with Cap'n Crunch.
Yeah, I
so
heard of that. Yeah.
That's like a thing, or like you can get the pancakes, you can get some Fruity Pebbles on them or whatever. But anyway, we're like, this will be good. We kind of been wanting to check it out. The kids, you know, cereal, they'll love it, whatever. We'll go do it. And then Trish wasn't feeling well, so I ended up going without them. There, I have a lot of things to say about this place, most of which I'm not going to. The short version, for those of you who live around here and are interested, is the food is quite good. The service, not so much yet. I think they're still getting their legs in terms of that. Mm. And also, it's going to be better once the kids are gone for the summer. Mm. So wait at least until summer vacation to try it out. But the food was really good, so I think there's some hope for that. But anyway, there's the main reason I want to talk about it. I'm sitting next to the 9-year-old, and we're talking about what we're going to eat, and he's got some ideas, and I was like, but what about the cereal? Because they haven't yet got the cereals listed on the menu. They just have this giant wall of them to go look at.
Right.
So I was like, you and your sister should really go take a look, because I think you're going to be interested. And so they go and take a look, and he comes back, and I was like, you see something you like? He's like, yeah. So we're talking about other stuff, and he's like, yeah, I've been wondering, they have Sour Patch Kids cereal.
Mm, that doesn't sound good.
And I said, what?
Sounds terrible.
And he looks at me and he says, yeah, I think it might be bad, but I think it might be good. And I said, hold on. Sour Patch Kids cereal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah. And I'm like, I can't, no, I can't believe it. Like, my brain cannot decipher that. I don't know what that would be.
Yeah, I guess I don't either. It just sounds terrible.
Like, not just bad, though. Like, I don't, how do you, all I can think of is it, like, really stale, sour? Like, how, Sour Patch Kid and cereal, in the Venn diagram of every aspect of them, there is no overlap.
Yeah,
like,
no overlap.
I don't understand this at all. And he's like, yeah, it's weird. And so finally, after a lot of, we're going to order other things, not really, but we're like, we're getting a bowl of this. We're just going to split it. We just want to know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a bowl of it. And they brought it early for some reason. So we're sitting down. And it's just a bunch of little cereal looking, like little tiny, skinny, vaguely Sour Patch Kid shaped things. So I try one. I friggin' had a seizure.
Why?
Because it's Sour Patch Kid cereal.
Like, it really is sour and
it's not super sour, but it tastes just like Sour Patch Kids, but it's cereal. Oh, sorry, there is a delivery person.
I mean, did you like it?
I don't think it can be discussed in those terms.
Trace, your food's here.
I don't think it can cope with words like good and bad, because it's just so over-encompassing weird. Like, it, remember how I said, like, my brain couldn't define it? Mm. I've eaten it now. My brain still kind of can't handle that. Like, it's just strange.
Well, part of it is, who would pitch that, and who would say, that sounds like a good idea?
Little kids. I think little kids would. And everybody tried a little bit of it, and the older one's like, it's not that sour. I'm like, no, but it is kind of. I'm like, it tastes like sour. Like, here's it's tricks adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the cereal science involved, it's the same way they make tricks. But somehow they got it tasting like Sour Patch Kids.
With a little bit of citric acid, you suppose?
Yeah. All right, yeah. I think this is your cigarette on the bottom.
You know, because you can tons of that stuff crystallize, and you just put it in, whatever.
They did remember no barbecue. Good. It's just.
In fact, that's probably what they use in the candy is citric acid.
Yeah.
It freaks me out. And, like, part of me wants to forget I ever experienced it. And part of me wants to go buy a box.
Buy a box? Seriously?
Well, after, like, two bites, he decided he was done with it. I ate that whole damn bowl myself.
But you can't say whether or not you liked it.
No. Because it's weird. Just weird.
You mean you just kept eating it to see if something would click in your head as whether or not you liked it and never happens?
No, because I was really hungry at that point. It had taken a while for the food to get there. Side note, one of the children had French toast, one of the children had pancake, and they both commented how the syrup was weird, to the degree that the one with French toast just wouldn't eat the French toast because of this. And I'm like, weird how? And she's like, I don't know, it's just weird. And so me and her mother tried to, and the nearest we can tell is it was actual maple syrup, and they're not used to, they're just used to, like, fake syrup.
Oh. Did you say the boy is 9 years old?
He is. As of last month. Yep.
Wait, so the girl
girl's going to be 12 in August.
What? That can't. That Dude, cannot be true.
Bucho just turned 18.
Yeah, that's also weird.
Right?
Yeah. That's especially weird.
You remember the tiny girl who couldn't remember to open up her eyes during wedding photos?
Yeah, yeah.
She's 18.
Yeah, yeah.
That was terrifying.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
That is weird. I mean, most of the kids that I've known in my life, it seemed like it took forever for them to grow up. But I guess I'm thinking of the last time I saw these kids, and it's been a long, long time ago. But it doesn't seem like 10 years ago.
I see these kids all the time, and they're still growing up insanely fast to me. I don't know how that works. But yeah, I just got a picture of all my three nephews, who are now the youngest ones starting high school, I think. One's in college and one's graduated college. I'm like, holy shit. Is this the little boy I carry?
Well, like Abby's nieces and nephews, my wife's nieces and nephews, this seems like they've been kids forever. I
don't Maybe they have, like, a dwarfism or
no,
something?
It's not I mean, bad. Is it's it? Just, it just, I don't know, for some reason, every time someone tells me, kids grow up really fast, it's like, I don't think
so. Do you, like, hang out with them and do stuff, or are they in, like, cryogenic chambers that you just go visit and they're unconscious?
I don't really, they don't live in the state, so I don't really get to
maybe hear. Maybe they're in cryogenic chambers most of the time.
I see pictures of them on her Facebook and stuff, and it's like, and I think to myself, this kid hasn't graduated high school yet.
And I think to myself, this kid hasn't graduated high school yet.
It just seems like it takes kids forever to grow up, and everyone else says the opposite.
Maybe you have Benjamin Button disease.
But like the neighbors, I don't think it's a these kids are growing up fast thing. I think it's a did I really see them that, you know?
Yeah.
Was it really that long ago when I saw them? Because it doesn't seem that long ago when I saw them.
Tell you when that's flooring me right now. Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. 15 years of marriage.
That seems about right.
It does on a certain level, and then on another level, it doesn't. Like, on a certain level, I'm like, yeah, I feel like I've spent my life with Trish. And on another level, I'm still surprised I have a wife.
Well, I mean, I just think I can remember the wedding, see? And it seems like a long time ago.
It does.
Maybe and tonight, my brother is celebrating his 10th wedding anniversary. That seems about right. That seems a little soon. But I think maybe the reason I remember things differently than most people is because I lose things. Like I don't remember everything about your wedding. Some of it's gone.
A lot of my wedding is gone
and
for
And I know, I think I judge how long something's been by how much is gone. And it's kind of like carbon-14 dating. It's a pretty reliable. Maybe some people, they remember it really well, or they don't know how poorly they remember
maybe
it.
Maybe then this is just the kids stick in your head. And that's why they don't age as fast.
Maybe. I just, there's something in my head, too, that's forming expectations. Like, the next time I see this kid will be this, and it's not. It's like, wow, you're a lot younger than I anticipated you would be next time I saw you. I don't know.
Yeah, no, they're always older than I anticipate.
That's weird. I don't know. Well, but, I mean, I have the same thing about when I graduated high school and everyone around me saying, oh, it went by so fast. I'm thinking it did not. It took forever. And to this day, I feel that way about it. College, the same thing. It took forever.
High school took a long time, but I was not having fun.
I can't really think of any time of my life that most people say goes by fast that I thought went by fast. In fact, usually the opposite. So I don't know.
Don't these podcasts go by fast? No, it feels like days.
I don't know. That's
I can't remember a time we weren't recording this episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that's actually been going on for 15 years, and you just can't tell. You think it's been like 15 minutes, but that's how things work. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. This is episode 424. It's a miracle that I remembered that, considering the delay.
Yes.
Between me checking and putting it in my head and saying, okay, remember,
it was a long
424,
time.
424.
We're sitting here, like, trying to figure out what we do. And by the way, the answer, if the laptop ever isn't working at all, there is no answer. You just don't get an episode. Because backups are stored locally. I could probably work around that. But it still would be tricky because I'd have to manipulate them on something. And that would be tough on my tablet. We haven't got another non-mobile device in the house. All right. Yeah. Coffee has requested we keep up the introduction.
Oh, Coffee did?
And I can very seldom say no to her, so. For those of you just joining us for the first time, we took a lot of effort to come here, so. Enjoy it. Here's how this works. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Folks like yourselves, good people, about four people now, but you're still out there. We love you. People, write into that email address, TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards that manifest with information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. Ecumenical servants draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except the parts that aren't, which is most of it. And the weird background you're hearing, by the way, if you're occasionally and then it goes away, is out, well, the cats are running around, but also outside, it has rained just enough that the streets are kind of wet and the windows open, so when a car drives by, it's that louder sound when you're driving on wet road, so that's what you're hearing. So apologies, but I'm not sorry enough to stand up and walk the 8 feet to close it, so.
You should have just told them we're in space.
Sorry, we're in space.
That's the sound you hear. We're in space.
Oh, I forgot. What, at the start of an episode, I wanted to talk weird, make them think their record player was on the wrong speed. Let's do it now. Do it now.
The window doesn't look open from here.
Well, there is a curtain over some of it. Oh. But you can see the little handle thingies. Those are up.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, that part of the window you see is just a screen. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Modern magic.
I get it. Plus, we're in space.
In space. In space, no one can hear you podcast. So, how has your week been?
Watched the latest season of Doctor Who.
Oh, you had not watched that. Oh, my goodness. No. Oh, my goodness.
Just watched it.
Oh, tell me all about it.
We didn't see the Christmas episode.
It's a New Year's episode.
No, we didn't see Capaldi's last Christmas episode.
Oh.
Did he have one? He did, didn't he?
The last one I can remember was the one that was all him and River.
I didn't see one with him and River.
Okay, yeah, then you've missed that one, but that's been a while back.
Well, but just, you see, those episodes are like, it's stupid. They're not in the regular collection, so if you get the discs from Netflix, say, it's not going to be
there.
Yeah. It's all by itself, but then Netflix doesn't have it, and it's hard, so I haven't seen that yet. And I want
a lot
see
of
it,
Doctor
of
Who floats around Amazon for some reason, so you can check there, too.
I want to see it, but we weren't able to see it. So we just saw...
As relates season. To this incarnation, it doesn't matter too
no,
much.
No, I realize that. I realize that.
But no, absolutely. I want to see all of them, too.
Yeah. But anyway.
Actually, before you go on, one of the things that I'm very excited about in BritBox, I think I talked about this, BritBox seems to have all the extant pre-reboot Doctors.
Mm.
Like, all the episodes. Mm. So I'm excited to check out some of those.
So, Jodie Whittaker.
Yes. So this is your first experience all around, other than like the 10 second.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Give it to me.
First and foremost.
A lot to unpack here.
First and foremost, her doctor is good. I don't know, for reasons that aren't her fault, I don't know if I can say like it's my favorite.
There is a lot going on here that's not just Jodie Whittaker.
Yeah, so
there's absolutely a lot going on here.
I mean,
but I'm with you. That was my first thing too. I'm like, is she a good one? Because if she's not, everyone's going to think female doctors suck. So at first I'm just like, be competent.
Well,
and she was.
Yeah, I don't.
And then I'm like, okay, now how much do I actually like her?
I'll say this. Before the end of the before the season was ended, it just felt like watching Doctor Who. I mean, it didn't feel like, oh, I'm watching a female Doctor Who or I'm watching a new Doctor Who even. It was just Doctor Who.
Agreed.
And she happened to be the Doctor.
Agreed.
So she hit that mark, and any actor who hits that mark deserves huge credit, don't you think?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because, you know, when Matt Smith started, I didn't jibe with him right away. But by the end of his first season, it's like, okay, I feel like I'm watching Doctor Who, and he's the Doctor, and I'm fine with it. Probably the reason that up to now Capaldi is my favorite Doctor was because of all the Doctors I've seen all of the new ones and lots of the old ones, especially the popular old ones. I could never tell you that I even so much liked the Doctor very much, is that they were just a character. Peter Capaldi's Doctor is the first one when I watched the show, I felt like I like this guy. I like this character. So I've decided he must be my favorite. Mm. So he's the one to beat for me. Now she does score points being a woman. I don't apologize for that, but I don't think I would be doing her any justice by just by not
saying that's your favorite because
yeah,
she's a woman.
By not applying the same standards that I apply to everybody
Agreed.
Else. But one standard is before the end of the season, did it feel like I was just watching Doctor Who and there's, you know, it wasn't really a different person? Yes. So she hit that mark. Good for her. Other things are harder because again, things that didn't have anything to do with her that I'll talk about now. The things
I like that you set up that sentence before. You told us what you're going to talk about immediately before you're going
to
talk.
But I want it to be understood that these things made it difficult to even evaluate, for me to evaluate how I felt about her as the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
The writing was very weird.
Yes.
And one way I described it, like two episodes in, the one way I described it to my wife was, it feels like I'm watching, and I'm not watching Doctor Who, it feels like I'm watching The Magic School Bus.
Who?
Because, well, like, in one episode, she takes the time to explain that someone's trying to change history and we have to stop that from happening.
Yes.
But she explains it in a way that a character would explain it in a show if the audience also needed this to be explained.
Is this the Partition of India?
No.
Okay, because that one, she did that, and I was glad she did that, because as an American, I had no idea what the fuck was going
okay,
on.
Okay, well, see, in that one, I'll grant that one. But that one also bothered me because it seemed like there was a really heavy history lesson. Now, granted, you said you were grateful for that because you didn't know. But do you think...
In that episode.
Do you think ordinary Brits know or don't
know?
No,
but they have to adjust now. Doctor Who is a huge thing in the U.S. Oh, okay. And actually, in some of the Brits I've quizzed, they actually didn't know, which was kind of weird to me. But no, they have to take American audiences into consideration. But no, I largely agree with you. Here's the thing. The showrunner, the writers, or the person who wrote most of them, knew, brand new, to Doctor Who. Not a lot under their belt before then. We went through, up to this point, post-reboot, we've had only two showrunners. We had Davis, I forget his full name, but the guy who did it through Tennant, basically. And then we had Stephen Moffat. And both of these were already heavy hitters in genre fiction TV writing before this. I don't entirely know the new showrunner's background, but it's not the same. And they've just started with Doctor Who.
But it felt like, I know that, but it felt like they showed up and someone said, okay, you're going to write Doctor Who. How do I do that? It's time travel. Okay. So they wrote something with a bunch of time travel tropes in it that nobody who knows Doctor Who would ever put in Doctor Who, because Doctor Who's been around for decades. You don't put the typical, I mean, you put some tropes in, obviously, but like, again, the way she was explaining the mission of all the people it seemed not just like she was telling these companions this, but that she was telling the audience this, like, we don't know what Doctor Who does, or we don't know what Doctor Who means. Plus, one of the things she was having everybody do was research the time period and things going on, when usually Doctor Who somehow almost miraculously knows these things.
Yes, yes. Oh, you hand wave that away because she's only been regenerated for a little while.
Okay. Well, most of the episodes were like this. We're like, these are not very well written. Like, whoever's doing this doesn't know how to write a Doctor Who episode. The actors were all good. I felt like if I were the showrunner, I probably wouldn't have had so many companions, just to avoid any suggestion to people that I didn't think my new female doctor could carry the show. But the fact of the matter is, the doctor's had multiple companions before, and usually if he had only one or two, wherever he went, there was three or four people in the cast of wherever he was going. I mean, they didn't have so many companions because they didn't think she could handle it. That's not why.
No.
But I would probably have avoided that just in case
I was
thought that.
Hugely skeptical about three companions, full stop.
Yeah.
And to me, I've been proven wrong. Except it is a lot to deal with. I feel that Yaz has been underutilized.
Well, I agree with that.
And I'm hoping that'll get better. I didn't think Graham was going to be, like, my favorite person on the damn show. That's amazing.
Okay,
and his relationship with Ryan has impacted me so strongly.
But what I'm saying is, she's got three companions, but when they go to a place, there's
Frequently is an episode about one or two of them.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's not as many people they're dealing with.
Yeah.
So show for show, aside from the Doctor as a named character, there's still the same number of other named characters. They don't, three of them are just companions. And they're interesting companions to me.
Absolutely.
And even though they're not very well used in a lot of the episodes, by the time we get to the end of the season, things are a little bit better. And the shows do feel more like, not just that they're acted like Doctor Who, because again, Jodie Whittaker totally convinces in the role, but they start to actually seem like they're written like Doctor Who. But the early episodes, it's like, are they? Well, it's interesting you should say that about American audiences, because that's kind of what it felt like. It felt like someone was saying, we need to write these episodes different and take American audiences into account or something. We can't.
And this may be, this is clearly taking some new approach. I mean, the very fact that finally somebody, like, literally when this person, because the showrunner was picked before Doctor was picked, because the showrunner got to have a hand in that. And they said in early interviews, as soon as I got the job, I'm like, next Doctor is going to be a woman. So maybe they're pushing better. A lot of people I know have said it actually reminds them a lot more of pre-reboot Doctor Who. Which for some people is a bad thing and for some people is a good thing.
Well, I think I agree with that, and for me it's a good thing.
I very much saw it as a rebuilding season in terms of the whole show. Like, I love her as the Doctor. She's probably one of my favorites. I would agree with you. I don't think she's my favorite, because there's just a couple that really stand out there. But I think if I was ranking all of them, she's pretty high up. But it definitely felt like a rebuilding year, and even for Doctor Who, which is a show of which this is one of its greatest sins, there was a lot of hand-wavy bullshit to resolve things.
Well, here's the credit I'll give it, is even though I thought the writing was not right, at least at the beginning, I will say this. If a person's never watched Doctor Who before, but they like science fiction-ish female-led stuff, they could start here and it would be fine. And some of the remedial stuff that happens in the beginning can really help them get into it. And maybe that's a good thing. I think it's weird, but,
I think it's growing pains for the new showrunner. I'm hopeful. There was definitely flaw. It was not a perfect season. But also, and maybe this is less of a thing because you had time. The sheer relief of being out from under Steve Moffat's ass. Like, the sheer Moffatishness of the show in the last couple series, it's just so, because you got to where you could predict it, and you're like, oh, that's scary music. That means so-and-so is really a bad, like, all this stuff. And, like, oh, I know where this is. Oh, look, it's going to go somewhere dark and confused. Like, all that. To not have that has just been such a relief.
Well, and another thing I'll say that's positive about it that I think is deliberate is a lot of, well, maybe I shouldn't say that. I don't want to give anything away about any plots or anything. They tried.
I think the season is less dark than it's been for a while.
That, but also there's certain elements that pretty much every single season of Doctor Who has had up till now that is not in this season, which I think is good. Mm. I think.
It is hilarious that there are four people on the TARDIS, and they all have pretty heavy Yorkshire accents. That's just weird. We have to watch it with the captions, or else Trish has real trouble.
I do have to admit, I miss some things once in a while. But no, she does a fantastic job, and she's got a lot of. I thought the showrunners put some unnecessary challenges in her way, even, but yeah. She did it, and it was a 10 episode season, and there was a lot of stuff distracting from her contribution. So I don't feel comfortable saying whether or not, you know, she's my favorite or whatever, but she's definitely a good one. I mean,
my biggest complaint is her outfit, and I am hardcore in this. I fucking hate her outfit.
Well, what would you rather?
Well, I loved Capaldi's. I've liked most Doctor Who outfits, but this weird with the short pants and the suspenders,
like capri and, pants kind of thing.
Yeah, and the suspenders, which just gives such a Mork from Ork vibe. I can't even cope. Ugh, cannot stand it.
What about the jacket, the hooded jacket?
It has potential, yeah. But everything else just yeah. But no, I was pleased. I had a lot of complaints each episode, but I was overall pleased, and I'm eager for
my
the
wife,
next season.
There was one. No, I won't talk about it. We both look forward to seeing the next season. We'll put it that way. Mm. We very much look forward to seeing it because we think she's doing a good job.
It's a little Captain Marvel-ish. I liked everything in it, but I didn't necessarily like it. But I'm very eager to see what the next one looks like.
Yeah, very much so.
Speaking of which, we're going to see Endgame on Saturday.
Saturday, wow. You got tickets for Saturday?
We got our tickets.
I'm surprised it's not.
Not here, Quad Cities. But yeah, we're going to go see it with Stephanie. We're very excited. The cats are playing, so sorry about that background.
Well, how was your week?
It was all right. Went to the doctor today.
Oh.
Some of my numbers are decent. Some of them are a little troubling. Mostly the blood pressure is a little troubling. A1C is a hair's breadth up, which is not great, but mostly pretty good. I saw movies, most of which were not very good.
Oh.
One night we were just bored, and she's like, any movies you've been wanting to see? And I was like, not really. So we're just thumbing through HBO's thing. And I realized there was a movie that I have been wanting to see just because it's so part of the pop culture zeitgeist. And that was Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, Will Ferrell movie.
Never seen it.
I had never seen it either. But like so many lines from it are quoted and so many memes are based off of it. And in general, I am not super into Will Ferrell comedies. But then, like, for no reason at all, I find Talladega Nights hilarious. And, like, anybody who says they hate that movie, I don't blame them at all. But for some reason, I find it hilarious. but I don't like any of the other ones. Like, it's weird. So I'm like, well, check it out. I now know, like, I understand so much better so many catchphrases and memes. But, yeah, it was not very good. I can skip it. I'm really annoyed, actually. Steve Carell plays a character in it who's big thing is that he's really dumb, and they do it pretty well. There's funny stuff from him just being really sort of an idiot.
Okay.
The problem is in the opening where they actually do a fourth wall breaky intro of each person, they use the word retarded. And so every time he does something funny, I'm just annoyed. And I'm like, this character would be 10 times funnier to me if you just hadn't used that word.
Yeah.
So that was disappointing. But, yeah, so you can skip that. Also saw a weird slasher movie called Fox Trap, which was fine, but you know how slashers have to have twists now? Like, that's... I mean, they've kind of always had to. Very seldom is it like, the person you think it is really is. Like... but this one had two twists, one of which, oddly enough, turned out that the guy whose death scene is off camera and whose body is found bloody but with no marks on him turns out not to be dead. Shocking. And then the other one was so weird that I'm like, I'm confident if I replay this movie, several scenes will make no sense in light of this twist. So I think you're full of crap. But then last night, we saw Snatch. You ever seen Snatch?
Yes.
I had not, which is funny because I was a big fan of Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Which I haven't seen.
They're very different. But that was the one that sort of put Guy Ritchie on the map.
Yeah.
And then this was his next thing right afterwards. And it was still in that vein of, you know, British underworld criminal film.
Right.
And there is a similar stylistic vibe to it. But yeah, we just had never seen it. And I mean, and now Guy Ritchie's not making anything good. I mean, I don't even know what happened to him. But he's making that stupid King Arthur one.
Isn't that weird?
And he made the shitty Sherlock Holmes ones. And
it's just weird. They're not even the same kind of thing.
It's like a Mallrats syndrome thing, I think. And he just and you know, Madonna probably didn't help. Madonna will help you lose your way. Like, forever. But hadn't seen this one. It's back from 2000. Hadn't realized just how many fucking people are in this. Brad Pitt's in this damn movie.
But I wouldn't... The thing about Brad Pitt...
baby Jason Statham.
Yeah, the thing about Brad Pitt being in it, though, is I have no way of knowing if his performance is good. I mean, it seems convincing.
No, it's.
But I have no way of knowing.
It's better than it has any right to be. I was prepared to be amused or annoyed, but I'm like, no, he's doing it. And what surprised me is how many big names were in it, or names that I knew, but also how many large roles in it were by people who have basically been in nothing else that I would possibly recognize, but did really good jobs. This is back in the day where Benicio del Toro exclusively played people who were absolutely bonkers. I mean, he always plays weird people, but this is like Usual Suspects Benicio del Toro. Baby Jason Statham.
Yeah, that's the first.
I want to say this is the first film Vinnie Jones was ever in.
I don't know.
This was definitely one of the ones that shot him to stardom, and he nails that. And then just weird things. The dude who played Spud in Trainspotting and was also one of the Wonder Woman's army buddies in Wonder Woman is in this for a very small part.
Mm.
He's the guy who gets his head in the window while they're driving along. I think the guy who was the bad guy in John Wick is in it, who always plays an evil Russian in everything. He's an evil Russian in this. Fucking Dan Farina, rest in peace, is in this. Made me really sorry again that he's dead. He did such great stuff. I mean, he just always plays a gangster guy, but he does it so well. He was in Get Shorty, and, like, yeah, he's good at this. But, yeah, it's fun. Like, there's literally only one woman who has lines in this movie. She has very few lines. Later, she gets fridged. So... that's not good.
No.
But, and it's pretty violent, although I was expecting worse. So it's like maybe I'm remembering Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels as more violent than it was, or maybe it was more violent than this.
I don't know.
But it's kind of, it kind of makes me think British Pulp Fiction a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I feel the certain type of I don't even want to say exposition, but soliloquies involved remind me a lot of Tarantino's things. And this movie's violent, but it doesn't really feel gratuitous. Like, there's never violent scenes where I'm like, that doesn't seem like it would happen based on what I know here. And, like, we don't focus on it a lot. There's not a lot of sugar.
Right.
And it was pretty funny. Like, I'm not saying this is a great movie. I'm saying this is a good movie, and I didn't really expect it to be.
Oh.
And I'm kind of pleased. It's just on Netflix, so.
It had a good reputation.
Yeah, but I figured it would have aged really bad.
Yeah, I don't know.
That kind of thing. But it's not. I mean.
Years.
It's not something I would. If somebody made it today, I don't think I'd be proud of them. It's not a movie that needs to be made now, but it holds up. So, yeah, that was kind of cool. Still writing. I got into that horrible chapter I was having trouble with. I'm not finished with it, but I have broken it up into 3 chapters now.
Oh, wow.
So, it was a really long one before,
mm-hmm.
and there are just some good breaking points
sure.
that make it cleaner.
Sure.
So, I'm doing that. But yeah, not a lot else. Had a good dinner out with a friend last weekend. Was going to go to Derby. We didn't end up doing it. Yeah, I'm mostly it. All right, let's ask them things.
Are you going to watch on HBO, are you going to watch Gentleman Jack?
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine we wouldn't.
The first episode's good.
The one I'm going back and forth on is an Amazon one called Boys. Okay. It's a superhero one, but it's very much the superheroes are kind of assholes because they're kind of because they have superpowers and they know they can be and it looks interesting, but it looks like it's gonna go kind of dark, and I'm like, I don't know, but. We've finished all but one of season 2 of Orville.
Oh,
that show makes me crazy.
Why?
Because it's so good and horrible. Like, it's so great in its ability to recreate Star Trek: The Next Generation, and it's so horrible, maybe in its ability to recreate Star Trek: The Next Generation. Like, a lot of these plots piss me off. But I'm like, in a lot of cases, this is the thing I do. They just do episodes that Star Trek The Next Generation did. And so I just compare them. Mm-hmm. And like, the second to last episode is so much an episode that Star Trek The Next Generation did. And they did it so much better. And so that's rough. But it's also, yeah, it's kind of fun. Also, the fucking Mocklins, if they do another episode about the goddamn Mocklins, this particular alien species, the third officer is one of them. Every third episode is about them and their goddamn fucked up culture. And I'm tired of it. Don't want any more about them. Stop.
All right. Well, Craig wants to know.
What does Craig want to know? Craig's been wanting to know a lot lately.
If you were given the job of updating the Ten Commandments, this would use his PR.
All right.
God just comes up to you and says, hey, Tony, yeah. I don't know if you know this, but Ten Commandments, pretty old.
Yeah.
I haven't updated it in 3,000 years or however long it's been. You think you can get
in my version, God specifically says that, or however long, he however can't long keep track.
No, he can't. He's got other things to do. I mean,
you know, it's been a while.
Why do you think he's giving you this job?
Yeah.
Because he's too busy doing other things.
We're outsourcing.
So you've been given the job of updating the Ten Commandments. Also, I mean, it's a no-brainer, right? Why should God spend his time rewriting the Ten Commandments?
Absolutely.
He's got so many more important things to do. So God comes to you and says, here, update the Ten Commandments, as Craig says, to modern life. What would you change?
All right. Commandment 1. Use your fucking turn signals. I'm putting fucking on the stone tablet.
You are?
Because it matters.
Well, you sure does, yeah. Of course it
does. Goddamn turn signals.
That's an important one.
the number of times in my life that I'm just looking at a car that, like, if you could just have hinted that that was your plan with, I don't know, some sort of flashing light, all of this would have been so much easier and none of those children would have died.
Well, it's pretty important.
And it's one of the few things left that I know is petty, but I still won't stop bugging my wife about.
Well, I mean, you could,
like, most of the petty shit, it's been 15 years. I'm like, okay, I'll give it a rest. I don't give that one a rest.
Okay, wait.
Pisses me off.
You could fill the whole tablet with driving things, like don't text and drive, don't drink and drive.
Maybe.
I mean, you could fill the whole.
Honestly, if you're drunk but you're using your turn signals appropriately, I think I'm okay.
Oh, no. Come on, don't say that. That's not even funny. Come on. Okay. So, okay, that's number one. What's number two? There's 10. You got to come up with 10. God says it's got to be 10. It can't be 11. Yeah. It can't be 8. Well, if you rewrite them, it's still got to be 10 because it's a brand thing.
You call it an update. I don't.
We got to stay on brand.
I don't like any of them.
You don't like any of the 10 commandments the way they are?
I think I don't like 10 commandments. I'm more relativist.
Yeah, but God has given you this job, so you have to do it.
I know, but I mean, like, I just find it weird as an update. I also think it's weird that you're driving the hypothetical this time. You're like, you got to do it. God said. And I'm like, but oh, really?
You got to stay on brand.
Mr. I can't choose between butter or margarine when it's on a card.
But here. All right.
I mean, okay.
You don't
okay.
want
if
me to get into the weeds on this because you know I will.
If we're doing it for God. Here's the thing. This is a specific kind of God. It's the kind of God who wrote the first ones.
Yeah.
So the first three are all basically, I'm your only God. Only worship me. Right, fuck everything else. Be nice to me. I would just eliminate all three, but given it's this God, we still probably have to have a version of that. But we can bundle it.
Wait. Let's rewind. I'll play God. Oh, that's going to be hard. Okay.
Oh, my God. You've made some sort of half-man, half-monkey creature, William.
Okay, listen. So, as far as the whole kind of God who did this.
Yeah.
It's times have changed. That's why I'm having
I know that. I don't think you know that.
Oh, I know that, or else I wouldn't be asking you to update the Ten Commandments. Why would I be asking you to update them if I didn't know?
I assumed customer complaints.
I wrote them the way I wrote them because
I assumed lawsuits
because I was taking into account the audience. This was what was going to work for them at the time. It's a common misconception, actually, that I intended for everybody for all time to think that this was a thing. That's one of the reasons why I have to update it, because now it's a really strong brand, but it's losing its market share. So, you know, we need to take into account who we're writing these for now, which is the whole planet, it turns out. Even people who aren't Judeo-Christian, because for whatever reason, someone's decided that this is going to be a moral code that can apply to everybody, at least part of it. So I actually like your idea of getting rid of the first three, because that seems superfluous.
For some reason, someone's decided.
I mean, what do we need those for? Let's get rid of those now. I kind of like the fourth commandment, keep the Sabbath day, but I mean, I can be flexible on exactly which day it needs to be. I specify the seventh day, but I don't have to be that.
Yeah,
bad.
But even if you're moving it other places, it's just saying 1/7 of your life you can't be doing things.
No. See, that's just what I'm saying. I'm glad you brought this up, because this is just the kind of problem the Ten Commandments has. It's not about not doing something. It's like a day off. It's God giving people permission to take a day off where they can tell an employer, it's Sabbath. I can't
God
do that.
God said so.
Yeah, exactly. It's empowering them to say no to people, asking them to do things that they want to take a vacation from once a week. So it's supposed to be a good thing. How can I state it in a way that makes it good?
All right.
Or we can get rid of it if you think so. That's your prerogative. I gave you this job.
All right. Yeah, this is fucking impossible.
All right, well, let's move to the fifth commandment, which I believe, if memory serves, this was a long time ago. Honor your father and mother. Now,
damn, God, get your shit together.
That's the one that people think is the most outdated, I think. Honor your father and mother. Like, nobody thinks you should have to do that
anymore. I think people aren't super into not coveting your neighbor's ass. But yeah, mother and father. Like, I have issues with this because it's, well, for starters, yeah, it is outdated. The family concept is outdated there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
The You're automatic so right. respect for elders is outdated.
Well, and what if your father was a sperm donor and you don't even know who that
is?
Yeah. I mean, what's that supposed to be?
What if your father's a shithead?
Sure.
I mean,
So is that one, we just get rid of that one too? So far, we've gotten rid of the first half of the Ten Commandments without replacing
except
them
with the Sabbath.
Else.
No, we're going to put something about you at least one day a week off.
Okay. God says you get
mandated
one day a week off.
One day a week off.
You can pick, we'll let people pick it this time because I know people argue about that one.
All right, what's the sixth one?
Okay, so the last ones are all about. Let's see. There's thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. I think that might be the sixth one. And do not covet your neighbor's wife and all that.
There's only four. There's one more.
Oh, because we all only got up to five.
Five.
Wait.
Graven images is in the first three, isn't it?
No other gods before me. Don't take my name in vain. And graven images are
the first three. Okay, so we're missing one.
Well, let's see.
This is embarrassing.
Then there's the Sabbath. And then there's father and mother. And then there's the bearing false witness. Murder, adultery, and coveting. Isn't that all of them?
No. There's the three.
Three.
Sabbath,
yeah.
Honor mother, father.
Okay, that's five.
Lying, killing, coveting, adultery.
Bear false witness, adultery.
Dopey.
Oh, this is...
Oh, steal.
Yeah, didn't I say that one?
No. Lying, killing, adultery, coveting,
and
stealing.
No, that's not.
All right. Steal. Adultery's gone.
Okay. Are we going to replace it with anything else? We have to be on brand. That's what I'm saying.
No,
it's
got
to be 10.
Just clean up.
Because adultery's okay, or we just aren't going to care about that?
On the grand scheme of the basic fundamentals of how to live a good life, that's not the shit you should be worrying about. But also, adultery, much like family, is just so hard to define anymore.
Oh, I know what we can replace that one with.
What do we replace it with?
Something about consent.
Ooh, good one.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, always get consent.
Yeah, we'll put the consent in there.
Yes, I like that. I think we can replace lying with my general favorite one, the don't be a dick. Because, I mean, that's the thing. It's not the speaking of falsehood. I know some really honest people who are kind of dicks. And I know some people, I am some people, who lie all the time. But I like to think I'm a good person.
Well, can
person.
We just change it to don't be mean?
I feel like it loses something. I feel like it loses some of its definition that way.
Okay. Let me bounce this off of you.
Because there's a lot of dicks who are like, I'm not being mean. I'm just asking.
Let me bounce this off you.
Basically, Tucker Carlson is the epitome of not being mean and being a dick.
Because back in the 90s, when we were doing a lot of cleaning house and getting rid of redundancies and things like that, we looked at the Ten Commandments back then. And one proposal from someone who we eventually had to let go was maybe we could take, like, the last five in particular, and maybe all of them, but the last five in particular are open for to be changed from a negative to a positive. So instead of saying thou shalt not steal, say thou shalt be generous with charity or something.
Okay.
And instead of saying thou shalt not kill, say thou shalt provide health care or something, you know, something that's a positive kind of in the opposite direction.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying?
I do.
So that's an idea.
And the adultery one is consent. All right. So instead of lying.
And we can't say tell the truth because that's as vague just like you were saying.
No. And I don't think that's the heart of it.
Right.
I think integrity is more important than honesty. Be always fair and equitable with other people.
I like that.
All right.
We might need to workshop it a little bit to make it pithy. Yeah. You know, they got to be pithy.
Yeah, that's part
of the brand.
Be
too.
Excellent to each other.
That kind of thing, sure.
Yeah. All right. And as far as thieving, just be generous and generous. The coveting. I never got the coveting. Explain the coveting to me.
Oh, well, that one was mostly just about envy. Because.
But why is it a sin? Why must you not be envious? I mean, I understand that envy is not healthy for you, but I don't think it is like a fundamental. You're gonna fuck up life like this. It's evil to be envious.
Well, but it causes so many problems. Look, that one was more of a cultural thing. Like, well, think about how American culture is so obsessed with status. I mean, isn't that all envy? You know, you're at this level of status, but you want to be at this level. And isn't envy the core of all of that?
But here's the thing, though. You can't invalidate people's emotions. People get to feel however they want to feel.
You're right. I was outlawing a feeling.
Exactly.
See, I wish you were there to proof it before I...
That's why all the damn deadly sins are for the most part, emotions.
See,
that's not okay.
This is the problem with writing something in stone. I mean, there's no whiteout for that.
True.
Okay, so, all right. So
I feel like Moses did not give you a lot when you were doing it the first time.
Well, to be honest, that's true. He wasn't very good at speaking, public speaking anyway. I probably should have picked a different guy, but that's in the past. That's water under the bridge. So, you're right. So yeah, it shouldn't be don't covet. It should be... You'd be grateful for what you have, or celebrate the success
the
of other
diversity
people.
Diversity, right? It's because what we're saying is, yeah, don't seek out status, don't seek to best your fellow individual. I don't know how we turn that into a positive. Maybe just something about validity, validating yours and others' positions, and
maybe something about gratitude. Would gratitude be grateful or be thankful? Or I don't know. That seems like another emotional thing.
And that's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
All right, we'll have to come back to that one.
See, people don't appreciate how hard it was to come up with these
the first time.
Really, honestly,
I might have just not done it.
I really. Well, it seemed at
the
time,
the whole thing.
It seemed like a good idea at the time. And you know what? Well, that wasn't the only thing. There was those Ten Commandments, but there was also the whole book of Deuteronomy. I mean, I had a lot of things I needed them to do.
Mm.
But, you know, and a lot of them still do it, which is, it's kind of nice, you know, that it's had this much staying power. But
I feel like we're going to have to table this discussion for another time. But I also would want to add for the next one, I would really love to get an insight about Abraham and Isaac and what exactly the fuck was going on there. Because that one's... That's a tough nut to crack.
Well, I'm often asked about that one.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not even... I'm not even bringing up Job. Like that, you know, whatever. But...
I'm not even bringing up Job.
I win. You broke first. Whew, that was a doozy.
I'm not even bringing up Joe.
I just couldn't picture a version where you come out looking good in that.
No, it seems like God would get pretty defensive about that.
I think so.
I just don't even know.
Like, the only way any of what I just said I can think of is you have to blame it on drugs and alcohol. I hadn't slept in 1,000 years. Like, something. You were debilitated.
It'd have to be, I guess I just didn't think that one through. Well, no, this is what it would be. It'd be like, well, first of all, it was just a total dare. I mean, Lucifer shows up. And he tells me all this stuff, and I just go, oh, sure. Well, why don't you just go down and do this? And that he just didn't, you know, here's the thing. Lucifer's never been good at catching sarcasm. That's the problem. But then once it got started, it just got out of control. And I had to roll with it after that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But lucky for me, Job was a good sport about it. So it worked out.
There's
a
bit in this last season of Pete Holmes' crashing thing. There's a bit where he's doing a Christian entertainment tour.
Oh.
And he's one of the comedians. And so he's talking about stuff. And the during the show that eventually gets him fired, because he kind of goes out there a little bit, but he talks about how, like, he believes in the Bible, but he's like, I hope that some of it's not literal. He's like, because some of it, like, and he said, like, Abraham and Isaac, he's like, I understand, like, as a parable, like,
yeah,
the importance
sure, right.
of doing anything right. for you, but, like, if it's literal, that's horrible. A man hears voices saying, this is God, go up on the mountain and kill your son, and he's just like, yeah, that seems like a good idea.
Well, but it also seems like a test that God, the way Christians typically portray God, and in my own faith, the way I typically think of God, would not think that this guy going up to kill his son was a good thing.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I'm saying? It's not a...
Dude, you'll go for anything.
I mean, this isn't for the God that I think of and that I believe in and that I, you know,
that
meditate
Kirk Cameron
on.
Cameron doesn't think exists.
If that God said, I want you to go kill your son, and he almost did it, the God I know would say, yeah, you failed that test miserably. You were supposed to say no. You were supposed
it's
to
not
go,
like
no
I'm omnipotent.
Gonna...
Oh, wait. Shit.
You were supposed to refuse that one, dude.
You Mitchell should... and Webb have a good one about that, where they're like just fucking around with it. It's like, oh no, it was a test. Yeah. All right.
Lucifer's never been good with sarcasm.
Oh my God! Speaking of Lucifer, May 8th.
Yeah.
Netflix. Starting season 4 of Lucifer.
Oh yes, that's right. I've heard that.
I don't encourage anyone else to watch it.
But you're going to?
I'm committed. I don't even know if Trish will go for it, but it's not a good show. I don't recommend it, but I'm sticking with it.
Did you know Constantine was on Legends of Tomorrow?
Yes, that's why
season?
Trish is so excited about watching that show.
Yeah.
He's been on for a while now. He guest starred a couple times.
Oh, he's like part of the
and
team.
And now
now
he's on the regular.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's been kind of interesting.
They're just about to finish up season 1, and then I've heard that season 2 is not as bad, but that season 3 is when it actually gets good. So we'll see what happens.
I pretty much liked them all. But
all right. Yeah, but you're weird.
I am.
All right, everyone. That's me and God. We're out.
We hope you enjoyed this conversation between God. No, yes. You can't be you. If I'm God, you're pick an angel or something.
Bob. Bob the angel. So.
What?
Bob the angel and God were... We're signing off, and next week, you know?
Not Gabriel or what's that other one?
God, you can't remember anything.
Well, I've been so busy, and I haven't been sleeping very good.
God developed Alzheimer's around 200 AD.
You know, I rested on the 7th day, and I've been skipping a few, so I'm really tired. Memory's going.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.